We're going to read a few verses, and then we will go to the Lord in prayer. And I told Kim this morning we was coming to church, I said, the older I get, the more nervous I get. Or just maybe, I don't know if nervous is a good way to put it, but just praying and asking that the Lord would speak to our hearts. And every time we open the Word of God, it's serious business. And we want the Lord to have His way this morning and help us. And so we're praying to that end. But John chapter number 4, very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. And I want us to read verse 46 through verse number 54. That's the last verses in John chapter 4. And the title in my Bible says, The Nobleman's Son Healed. That's what it's about. And so we'll read in verse 46 down through verse 54, John chapter 4. The Bible said, So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings you've given to us. And Father, as we come this morning, we have many things to pray about. Lord, things that only you can really do anything about. God, we come in faith asking you'd move and work and help in so many ways. People that are lost, people that are sick. God, we ask today that you'd increase our faith. Lord, that we might be the people of God you'd have us to be. And Lord, I ask you'd help me as I stand and try to preach this morning. Lord, I dare not think I can just do this in and of my own self, but Lord, I really need your help. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd have your way. I pray you'd save some lost soul. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this area of faith as we try to preach on it this morning. Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, and that we could really learn and apply something from the Word of God that will help us in our faith life. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 50. And we're going to read that verse one more time, and then we'll get started in the message this morning. But verse number 50, the Bible said, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. There are three times in this passage of Scripture that you find the word believe or believed. And every time that you see that word, you learn something different about this man's faith. And what I want to try to preach on this morning is, if I was going to give it a title, I would call it incremental faith. You know what an increment is? An increment is a step, or if you look on a tape measure, the eighths and the sixteenths and the quarters, all those little marks, or on a measuring cup or anything like that, there's increments, there's steps.
steps on the front porch out here going up. Those are increments. And that's the word, that's what it means, going up or adding or an increase. You know, just a few weeks ago, I think it was two Sundays ago, I preached on the subject, an increase of faith. And this is very similar to that same thought, incremental faith. I'm not preaching the same message, but along those lines. Faith is so important. It is absolutely necessary. We can't do anything without faith in our Christian lives. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, I was reading over there this week, my daily Bible reading, and verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. I mean, you can have everything. You can have all your T's lined and all your I's dotted. You can have all the necessary things of church, but if we do not have faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's what the Bible says. Everything else you can have, but if you don't have faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is absolutely essential to our Christian life. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6, it talks about the whole armor of God in the Christian life, putting on the whole armor of God. And it says this about faith, verse number 16, above all. Now, if you say above all, wouldn't you be saying most importantly, the most important thing? Do not forget this. Above all, the Bible says, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You need faith in your life. We'll never be, as a church, as individuals, as families, we will never be what the Lord would have us to be without our faith life being what the Lord would have it to be. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Bible says. Now, there's three things I'm going to try to show you this morning, and I pray and ask that the Lord will add to or increase our faith. First of all, let's look in verse number 46 through verse number 49. We'll read those verses. The Bible said again, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto Him and besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto Him, sir, come down ere my child die. Now, first of all, this morning, there is a seeking faith. This is a seeking faith. We see the nobleman. He came, as we read here in the Bible this morning, from Capernaum into Galilee. Verse number 47 said, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. So by hearsay, he heard where the Lord Jesus was. Now this is very early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we studied this morning in the Sunday school time how that the multitudes flocked around the Lord Jesus. They came and He fed the multitudes, and the multitudes ran ahead of the Lord Jesus and the disciples. He was just surrounded by all of these people. But here in John chapter 4, it's very early on. Maybe just a few people had begun to hear about this man, Jesus Christ, and how He had turned the water into wine. He had performed a miracle. The Bible says here in verse number 54 that this was just the second miracle that Jesus did. So we're early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this nobleman, he had heard about Jesus, and he heard where He was. And he makes a journey to go from where he was in Capernaum down into Galilee. Now, if you were to get in a car and travel that distance, it wouldn't be very far at all. But if you had to travel by foot, I was reading and studying about this, and one devotional I had said that this would have been about a 5 or a 6 hour journey by foot for this nobleman to go and to try to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose, the reason that he wanted to find the Lord Jesus is found in verse number 46. The Bible said, "And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." Now that's a commendable thing. You think, what would you walk 6 hours for? I wouldn't walk 6 hours just to go eat somewhere, would you? I remember when I was a little boy, my parents and we was growing up, they used to go and take us, and we used to always be going somewhere to eat. And it wasn't anything to drive to Hickory or to drive over to Johnson City or somewhere like that. But you know, that's only an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And you could see that, but I wouldn't walk that far for it. What would you walk 6 hours for? If I would walk 6 hours for anything, I'd do it for my children. I would do it if one of my children was sick or my wife or somebody very near and dear unto me. I would make that great effort for one of them. And you notice here, if you read this very closely, that the whole thing took a couple of days in order for all of it to unfold. If you look there in verse number 52, I believe it is, it said, "Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour. So this was quite a journey for this nobleman. It took at least 2 days. One day to go down, and the Lord Jesus told him his son was healed. On the next day, he comes back. He finds out. He meets his servants here. So his purpose is very commendable, that he would make this effort for his child. Nobody would criticize a parent doing what they could for their children. But as I studied this out, I believe the nobleman's faith at this time could be described as a shot in the dark. You know, if we're last ditch effort, I believe that's where the nobleman's faith was. It's a seeking faith that we find at this time. Now, he does make a great effort to find the Lord Jesus. And he has hope, and he has a desire in his heart that the Lord is going to be able to do something for him. But if you notice the reaction of the Lord Jesus Christ, he sort of rebukes him. Look here in verse number 48 what the Bible says. Maybe not even a rebuke, but just a probing answer by the Lord Jesus. And we really see where this nobleman's faith is at. The Bible said in verse number 48, it said, "Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That's the first time you find the word "believe" in this passage of Scripture. Now, seeking faith is like that. And we all at one time or another have had this kind of faith. Seeking faith. Jesus said, "If you do not see signs and wonders, you will not believe." You know, most people would say, "Well, I believe the Lord can do anything. I believe the Lord can heal. I believe the Lord can solve difficult situations. I believe the Lord can intervene. I believe all these things if the Lord would just show up when I say and how I say." And that's what this nobleman did when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had it all figured out in his mind. If the Lord will just do when I say and what I say, then everything's going to be all right. Look what the Bible said there in verse number 47, what the nobleman said. "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." He said, "Lord," when he met him there, he besought him, begged him, asked him, "Lord, if you will come down with me, I've got this all figured out. You come down and you heal my son." See, he had it all figured out in his mind. That's how we do sometimes. That's how we pray sometimes. We've got it all figured out. Lord, if you will just come down where I'm at, and if you'll just do what I say, then everything will be all right. And the Lord rebuked him over that. He said, except ye see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. Unless I do this just exactly how you've got it figured out in your mind, you're not going to believe. And the nobleman still said in verse number 49, I believe it is, look, that just sort of went, like we are sometimes, just went right over his head. He said in verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. You don't see, Lord, how serious this is. If you don't do what I say, if you don't do it how I say, my child is going to die. That's how we are. We have a seeking faith sometimes. Seeking faith is good. You got to start somewhere. But seeking faith is not the best kind of faith. It's a very elementary type of faith when we have this kind of faith in our lives. And the same principle applies for saving faith as it does for serving faith. A lot of people have got this. We come to the Lord and we say, do this like this, then I'll believe. I've heard people say, well, if the Lord would do this in my life, then I would get saved. See, they come to the Lord with preconditions in their life. If the Lord would touch me in this area of sin that I have in my life, if the Lord would help me be a better person, then I would get saved. Lord, I want to get cleaned up. I want you to clean me up first. I've had people I've invited to church and talked to them about the Lord, and they say, oh, if I walked in the building would fall down. God doesn't want you to get cleaned up before He to come. He just wants you to come. In fact, if you're trying to get yourself cleaned up, if you're trying to come your way, that's not the Lord's way. Oh, if the Lord would just do this in my life, then I would get saved. People come and they say, well, if the Lord would do this, I'd have victory over my sin. If the Lord would remove that temptation, then I wouldn't do that anymore. Lord, I've got it all figured out. You come down where I am and you do what I say, and then everything will be all right. That's a seeking faith. But that's not the best type of faith that there is, and that's what not where the Lord wants us to be in our lives. I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was growing up, the number one goal of my life was to be a baseball player. Boy, I lived that. I ate that. I drank that. I dreamed about that. I talked about that. That was what my life was consumed with. And I prayed many a prayer to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you will let me be a professional baseball player, I will live my life for you. See how that is? That's a very infant faith in our lives. When we come before God and we say, God, you come down where I am, you do for me what I want done, and then I'll believe, then I'll serve you, then I'll do what you want me to do. But that's not the best kind of faith. That's not a great kind of faith. That's not even a good kind of faith. The Lord Jesus rebuked the nobleman. I'd never seen that before, but he told him flat out, he said, all you're looking at are for is signs and wonders, and that's what it's going to take. Then, he said, you'll believe. That's a seeking faith. That's not the best kind of faith. Oh, if the Lord would just solve this problem in my life, then I'd be what He wants me to be. But I was noticing there as I studied that the nobleman, he stressed this. Verse number 47, the Bible said that he went unto him and besought him that he would come down. I underlined that in my Bible. And then he said in verse number 49 again, he said, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. But I got studying something and the Lord showed me something. Look over in Isaiah chapter 55. keep your place here. But I want to show you over in Isaiah chapter number 55. I believe if we could get a hold of this morning, it'd really help us. Because that's our attitude so many times. Lord, I really don't know if I'm coming or going, but if you'd come down where I am, everything would be all right. But you know what the Bible says? Isaiah chapter 55. And I'll give you just a moment to turn there because I want you to see this. Maybe even underline it in your Bible. This will help you in your life of faith. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says over there. The Bible says, "For my thoughts," this is the Lord speaking, "my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth," how much higher are the heavens than the earth? It's a long way. It's a long ways, you say. I seen the stars last night. You really didn't even see the stars. You just seen the light from the stars that has been traveling towards the earth longer than any of you have even been alive. You just saw the light from the stars. And God said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. But we come to God and we say, God, I want you to come down where I am and do things like I want you to do them. And then I'll believe. But God says, I want you to know my ways are higher than your ways. God wants us to know that maybe He's got a better way. Maybe He knows more than one way to get a problem solved. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts is what the Word of God says. But now, that's somewhere to start, a seeking faith. And we all have that in our lives. And I still come to the Lord sometimes like that. And I say, God, I got it all figured out. If you'll just come here and do this. And if you'll do it before, you know, supper time, that'd be real good. But that's not how it happens 99.9% of the time. And when things don't happen just like you think they ought to, don't worry about it. God's ways are higher than our ways. There's a seeking faith, first of all. Second of all, this morning, going back to John chapter number 4, there's another, this is where we need to get to. There's a settled faith. And you need to underline and highlight verse number 50. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now that's the faith that the Lord wants us to get to. The first is a seeking faith. The second is a settled faith. In the Bible, there's no such thing as teaching that seeing is believing. The Bible teaches the opposite. Believing makes the way to seeing. He had to believe first. And then he would go home and see his son basically raised from the dead. And that's the settled faith of the nobleman. A settled faith does not have to see anything. It is just satisfied by the Word of God. God said it. That settles it. That makes it so. It doesn't matter if I see it or not. That's the kind of faith that we see here in verse number 50. Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Isn't that good? Well, if we could just get to that place in our lives where we just believe what Jesus says. If we just believe what the Word of God says, this nobleman, as we come to find it in the Bible, he did not have a sign from the Lord. The Lord didn't give him a sign. He wasn't like in the Old Testament. He didn't say, and this is how you're going to know the sun's going to turn back 10 degrees. That happened in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament. He didn't say, I'm going to give you some kind of sign. You're going to, like Saul, and they met the prophets by the way. He didn't say you're going to meet a certain person on the way home. Nothing. The Lord Jesus gave him nothing as far as a sign was concerned. He just said, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. The Bible said, and the Lord Jesus says in the Gospels to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, He said it's a wicked generation that seeks after a sign. There's a lot of people in this world, that's what they are. They're sign seekers. They're always looking after this means this and this means that. This man had no sign. He had no token from the Lord Jesus. He didn't lay down on his bed at night and have a dream or a vision. Nobody else came along and verified the word of the Lord in his heart. But the Lord did a work of grace in his heart and he believed. When you believe, truly believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it is. God does a work of grace in your heart and puts the seed of faith in there and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed. He was satisfied by the Word of God. Real, saving, serving, living faith cannot be explained. It just has to be experienced. You can tell and tell and tell somebody. You can show and show and show. You can try to encourage somebody, but until they believe like this belief, then there's no way to explain it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And there's something about the word of God that puts a seed of faith in a person's heart, and the Spirit of God causes belief to come forth. You have to experience that. You can't explain that to somebody. I was saved when I was 9 years old. I praise the Lord for that. I was saved at a young age. I trusted the Lord Jesus. I know that He saved me. But you know what? I went through a time in my life, 19, 20 years old, somewhere right around in there, that I went through a time of just awful doubting. Anybody been there? Your Christian life, not everybody doubts whether or not they've been saved, but a lot of people do. A lot of people doubt, and you come to a lot of times it's when you're trying to grow and you read your Bible and you begin to doubt. Now, did I really do everything right? I don't remember. This is my experience, and I got to thinking about it. I didn't remember every detail about when I got saved when I was 9 years old. Got to thinking about it. And I got to, instead of just trusting what the Word of God says, I got to reviewing my life and all of my shortcomings. And I began to question in my life, now how could I be saved if I'd done this and this and this and this? You ever been there in your Christian life? Boy, the devil, he rode my back over that. And I'm telling you, if you go through life doubting your salvation, you'll never be what you ought to be for the Lord. It's not the Lord's intention that we should go through life not knowing whether or not we're saved. You ought to know that you're saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, or 12 or 13 says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know you're saved. God wants you to know that if somebody asks you, if you died today, do you know where you would go? You ought to be able to respond and say, yes, I know I would go to heaven. I know the Lord saved me. I know that I have eternal life, the gift of God. I know I'd go to heaven based on that, nothing else. But boy, I went through a time of terrible doubting. I was so miserable during that time period in my life, and I did all the things that other people does when they're going through something like that. I went and talked to the preacher about it. You know what? The preacher couldn't talk me into being saved. He couldn't talk me out of it. He couldn't help me, none. Couldn't help me. I went and talked to him, told him about when I got saved, told him about what I was thinking in my mind. He couldn't help me. I went to my wife and I talked to her about it. We were both going through the same thing at the same time. Only she had never been saved. I had been saved. You know what happened to her? She got saved. Praise the Lord for that. But I talked to her about it. She couldn't help me. I prayed that prayer that a lot of Christians pray when they're doubting their salvation. They'll come, they're miserable, and they'll say, Lord, if I'm lost, please save me. God doesn't save us on the if basis. When you get lost, He'll save you. But if you're already saved, He cannot save you again. So I was miserable. I was saved, but I was doubting my salvation, and I just got so miserable over that, and I had been praying about that. Lord, help me. Help me. You know who finally helped me? The Lord did. You know how He finally helped me? From His Word. And I'd either heard a preacher or somebody had told me, Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. You know what it says? It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The capital S, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And this thought came to my mind, or either I heard a preacher say it, that the Spirit of God does not speak to our flesh. It bears witness with our spirit. And if you're a child of God and you're living out here in this world in the energy and the power of the flesh, let me tell you something, you're not going to feel like you're saved. Because the Spirit of God doesn't come to our flesh and tell us we're saved. He comes to our spirit. And I remember coming to God and saying, Lord, I've been living wrong. I'm not doing right in my Christian life. I'm miserable. I'm doubting my salvation. But I said, Lord, I'm going to try my best to live for You. And I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go to church like I ought to. And if I'm saved, I believe the Spirit of God will bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And you know what? I began to try to do those things. I wasn't perfect. I was a long ways from where I needed to be. But I'm telling you, since that day, I've never doubted my salvation again. Say, how come, preacher? Because the Word of God's real. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so believe in a settled faith, just accepts the Word of God, says, I'm going to believe what God says. Well, that'll help you in your Christian life. Humble believe the Word of God. Four times the Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. Boy, it'd help us if we just believe what God says. I believe what the Word of God says. The Bible said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I quit worrying about things along those lines a long time ago. You hear all this talk, boy. There's a lot of people worried about whether a government website's up and running or not like it ought to be. People talking about the government this and the government that. You know who supplies my needs? It's not the government, it's the Lord. That's who I'm trusting in. Far as I know, this morning, God's doing fine. I walked out yesterday morning, it was still dark. I seen the stars shining up in the heavens. I thought about Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The stars were not falling out of the sky. A little while later, the sun came up. That's the one that supplies my needs. That's the one I'm trusting in this morning. We can trust in the Word of God. God will never lead you wrong. I was singing about Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 26 over there, the Bible said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Do you know how it would bankrupt all the rich men of the world if they had to shell out to buy bird seed just to feed the birds? They couldn't gather enough resources together. They couldn't buy enough grain. They couldn't do enough. They couldn't do enough to feed the birds in the world. But God does it every day, and most people don't think a thing about it. I did this morning. I was reading my Bible, and I read this about the fowls of the air, and I got up and I looked out my window. You know what I seen flying around? There's some birds out there. Not a one of them had his handkerchief out, sweating about making it through the winter. Boy, I hope we're going to have enough to eat. Boy, I hope I'll have enough power to fly down to Florida and make it. None of them doing anything like that. They just get up and sing, praise God, and go on and eat and whatever. I don't know what to eat. I don't worry about that. God's took care of all that. And then in His Word, He says, are ye not much better than they? If God feeds the birds, don't you think God's going to take care of you? Oh, if we just believed the Word of God, we wouldn't worry and fret and pull our hair out and have to go to the doctor all the time and buy Pepto-Bismol at Costco for a gallon, because we wouldn't have to. Worry is all it is I don't have faith. Worry. Worry is sinning. Do you know that? Worrying and fretting is sinning. When we worry and fret, all we're saying is, I don't know if God can handle this or not. I don't know if God's going to come down and do this just exactly like I think it ought to do. It's a sin. Boy, you don't hear that preached on much, do you? But it is. It's a sin to worry and fret when God is on His throne, when the Lord knows every little detail about your life, and He has promised to meet our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's a sin to worry. There's a settled faith that just takes God at His word, and that's what this man did. What a change in his life. What a change in his attitude that we find in verse number 50, where it just says that Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. When you do that, you'll be saved. If you're not saved, when you do that, you will get victory in your life over whatever it is that's worrying you to death. Believe the Word of God. And so he did. And last of all, this morning, number 3, in verses 51 through 53, we see this. We see that there is a shared faith. Now, there's a seeking faith. There's a settled faith. But you know, God intends for us to get to another place in our life, and that's a shared faith. Look what the Bible said in verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. That's a shared faith. When it says there in the Bible, himself believed and his whole house, that meant all of his servants, that meant his family, that meant his children, that meant his wife, that meant everybody underneath his influence believed because of what the Lord had done in their lives. Can you imagine as they met one another? I try to imagine things in my mind. The Lord Jesus told the nobleman, he said, go home, your son's going to live. And so he's trucking it back home. What maybe took him 6 hours to get there, I think maybe he's going to get close to cutting a third off of that. He's anxious to get home, wouldn't you be? And you know, they, some servants from down at his house, they see the son is now alive and going to be all right, and they want to carry the good news to their master. Here they come. And they see each other in the distance. Hey, guess what? Both of them could be yelling at the same time. Hey, come here, let me tell you something. The servants come along, they say, hey, your son, you're not going to believe. You're not going to believe. I mean, when he left him, he's at the point of death. But on that day before, that yesterday, at a certain hour, that boy, however old he was, I don't know. You ever been around somebody when their fever just left? That's how that boy was. He's at the point of death. But I imagine in my mind that all of a sudden he sits up on the bed. He looks around at everybody, sort of like maybe Dorothy after the tornado. Said, you know what, I'm feeling a lot better. I just think I want something to eat. I believe I'd like to go outside and maybe talk to my friends or take a walk down the road a little bit. You're just not going to believe how much better I feel. Praise God, that was a miracle. And here are the noblemen and they meet one another. Guess what happened? And they begin to compare notes one another. And the nobleman said, when was it that he got to feeling better? And they said, it was yesterday, seventh hour. That nobleman said, you know what? That is exactly when Jesus told me that he was alive, that he is going to live. I know that was the Lord. That was the Lord that did that. Real faith. He had real faith, a shared faith. All of them's faith comes together at the same time here. Real faith is not some top secret thing that happens in a person's life, never to be talked about or shared again. That's not what real faith is. Real faith is something when you die, nobody asks the question, I wonder if they knew the Lord. I wonder if they were saved. Real faith is not like that. Real faith ought to be a shared faith. Real faith ought to just be who you are and what you are, and nobody has no question about whether you know God or not, whether you've ever been saved. Real faith is a shared faith. It's not a fake thing. It's not a phony thing. It's not something we have to carry around on a card and read to somebody. If we have real faith, people are going to know that we know the Lord. That's how they were. Can you imagine going down to the nobleman's house after that and him not showing you his son that was about to die and was better? Can you imagine meeting his mother out at the marketplace and her not saying, yes, that's him. That's that little boy running around. He is about to die, but you know what? Jesus healed him and touched him. Shared faith. Shared faith ought to flavor everything about our lives. It ought to influence all the actions of our life. Nobody ought to be around us for hours and hours and weeks and not know that we're a Christian. They ought to know very soon that you know the Lord, that you're different. But there's something I wasn't planning on doing this, but I got a letter this week from the radio broadcast. It was on the pew this morning. And I just opened it up and read it. And it's from a man who listens to the radio broadcast. He lives up in Virginia. He's 75 years old. Now, if you was writing a letter of introduction about yourself to somebody, oh, there's all kinds of things that we could write about to let somebody know who we are. But I just want to read one line to you this morning from this letter from this gentleman who listens to the radio broadcast. He said, I was born again March 19th, 1954. Said where he goes to church. I bet you wouldn't be around that gentleman long that you wouldn't know that he knew the Lord. That's how we ought to be in our lives. If you was writing a letter to somebody to introduce yourself, would you feel it important enough that you'd say, I was born again? 1954, that's a long time ago, isn't it? But he felt that was important enough that he wanted to share that. That's how our lives ought to be. It ought to be a shared faith. Nobody ought to doubt where we are and who we are and if we know the Lord or not. Do you see how different his faith is from the beginning? At the beginning, he says, Lord, if you come down, do it my way. Everything's going to be all right. At the end, he just believes the word of God. And God blesses all of his house and all his family. And all of them, we say it like this, get saved. That's what happens to you when you really believe the word of God, you get saved. And so what a difference. Now he has received above and beyond anything he ever imagined. That's what the Lord will do for you when you believe his word. He's got a higher way. He's got a better way. He can always do things better than we can even imagine. I'll close by saying this morning. If your faith is a healthy faith, you'll share it. It'll just be easy. It'll be natural. It won't have to be forced. You won't have to talk yourself into it. If our faith is a healthy faith, we'll share our faith. Other people will just, they'll know by the way we live and walk and by the way we talk. But if our faith is not where it ought to be, if there's sin in our lives that's unconfessed and not dealt with, if we are doubting our salvation, whether or not we've ever been saved or not, if we are struggling in some way with believing God's promises, then we will hide our light under a basket. We'll not want to talk about it. You ever been there? We'll not want to be around where that's being talked about and discussed, and we'll go out of our way to avoid talking about it. How's your faith this morning? Verse number 50, you ought to underline this. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Have you believed the word of the Lord Jesus? If you are here this morning and you've never been saved, do you know what you need to do? You need to believe the word of the Lord Jesus. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not that you need to be baptized and join the church. You need to believe the word of God. If you're here like I was once upon a time and doubting the Lord, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You wouldn't believe how many people that you meet that go to church that try to live a good Christian life. They're faithful and all of these things, but they doubt all the time. God doesn't want you to go through life like that. That is miserable. I like what one fellow said. He was doubting. He went to church. A preacher preached on John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. He said, I've done that. I heard the word of God. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm tired of the devil bothering me about that. He went home that night. He got ready to get into the bed. He opened up his Bible to John chapter 5, verse number 24. He slid it under the bed before he laid down on the bed, and he said, now, old devil, just read that tonight. Tired of worrying about that. Tired of the devil giving me a fit about that. If you're doubting, you just need to believe. Have you heard? Have you believed? There's nothing else you can do. You need victory in your life. You're just going to have to trust God for it. You need to forgive somebody for something that you just cannot bring yourself to forgive them for. You know what? You're going to have to believe God to do it for you. You're not a big enough Christian, but He can do it for you. He can do a lot of things for us if we'd believe Him for it. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him. You say, I'm having all kinds of problems. Get in there and find your promise. Claim it. Believe it. You say, I don't know if it'll work. Try it and see. It'll work. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.